Please turn in your Bibles to Genesis 5, starting in verse 21. Genesis 5, 21 through 24. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he fathered Methuselah. Enoch walked with God after he fathered Methuselah 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
New Testament reading is taken from two letters. First, Hebrews 11, 1-7. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. And then Jude, which has only one chapter, verses 14 to 16. It was also about these that Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied, saying, "Behold, the Lord came with 10,000s of his holy ones to execute judgment on all and to convict all the ungodly of all their deeds of ungodliness that they have committed in such an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things that ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are grumblers, malcontents, following their own sinful desires. They are loud-mouthed boasters, showing favoritism to gain advantage." The Word of God. Let's pray. O God, we plead with you to be merciful to us, and enable us by your Holy Spirit within us to listen carefully to the Holy Word of God, which we believe is inerrant and infallible, perfect in every way, and has a message for us today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, it's nice to walk, isn't it? People with heart complaints benefit from it. Jean and I used to do it. Virtually everyone does it who can. We should do more walking. Even the philosophers among us. We're told by people who know about these things that the philosophy of old Aristotle was called peripatetics, from the Greek peripateo, to walk around, because he used to teach his students while walking, Aristotle. Enoch walked. The Bible tells us that he walked with God. Notice that it doesn't say that he walked before or after God, things that are said actually about many biblical saints. By the way, it says that he walked with God. Now, that's quite a thing to say of a human being, don't you think? But that it is quite a thing to say of a person might not be so apparent to us at once. But it is. Especially when we pay attention to the context in which it is found. Now you know that those early people who lived a very long time by our standards, and we spared Seth reading all of those names, and they changed it. I thought I had included him to have said those names, but it got edited. You can look it up yourself and see it. Methuselah, the son of Enoch, was the champion in that regard. 969 years. Others lived almost that long. And over against all of these poor folk is poor Enoch. He was the man who didn't live so long. All the days of his life pitied him. Were only 365 years. Yet it exactly is here where a startling revelation comes our way. That whole of Genesis chapter 5 tells about all these people who lived so long. But they didn't live forever. They may have lived for 900 years or so, but eventually they died. In fact, over and over, we read that sad refrain, and he died. They didn't walk. They died. They had children. They lived long, but they died. However, not so with his fellow Enoch. Oh, he had children. And he lived for 365 years, which isn't exactly chopped liver. His years were the same as the number of days in a year. But he didn't die. Oh no. The Bible says, and this is our text, Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Do you not see that Enoch's was the victory of life instead of the curse of death? In the midst of death everywhere, even though it was relatively long in coming for these early people, still at last it came invariably for every one of them. But in the midst of that pervasive snuff, here was a man who escaped it. He only lived. That's all he did. He walked with God and he didn't die. God just took him away elsewhere. And he never suffered that universal exit door. Thus we are to see two things in this verse about Enoch this morning. One, the way he lived his life. And two, the way he ended it. Look a bit more closely at these two points with me. And as you do, I hope you will learn something important about how you today are to live your lives. And also how you may hope to end them happily. First then, the way Enoch spent his life. He walked with God. That's what he did. Not he thought of God or he speculated about God or argued with God or even talked about God. He didn't even read about God. He walked with God. You might say that he lived with God. Now remember that all his godly forefathers in the line of Seth, the seed of the woman, the line of promise, were yet living. His father, his grandfather, his great-grandfather, and back for seven generations were all still alive when Enoch was born. Yes, even Adam. Enoch was a contemporary of Lamech, also the seventh from Adam. But Enoch was a far different man from Lamech, who walked anything and any way but with God. Lamech, the murderer and bigamist, traveled anything but a pattern of godly walking. He was the man you perhaps remember who not only committed homicide, but boasted about it. Then to top it off, he took not one wife, but two at the same time. God's prescribed path of life was not to Lamech's liking, and he did not walk with his Creator King on that path. But Enoch, his contemporary, was very different. You see, in spite of Enoch's living in that sorry environment, he yet had this distinction. He walked, lived with, fellowshipped with God. It was his distinguishing trait of faith, as the writer of Hebrews points out, boldly including Enoch in the catalog of saints, all eminent for their faith. For he was a man of public righteousness, like Noah after him. We read in Hebrews 11:5 that he had this testimony that he pleased God. And the very next verse after that tells us what pleases God. That's through saving faith that pleases God. Now, was Enoch perfect in all his ways? Did he walk with God as Adam did in the garden before the fall? No. For Enoch, like every other person born by natural generation, was born in the likeness of fallen man. He was a son of Adam. But nevertheless, he walked with God. A sinner did just that. And he did it by faith. He shows us that by God's grace, a sinner can be restored to fellowship with God even before his every thought, word, and deed is completely free from sin. Isn't that amazing? Enoch shows that even a sinful man may be forgiven and have a new heart. Indeed, receive all this by God's grace and walk with God. Yes, Enoch sprang by normal birth from fallen Adam and Eve. Yes, he was a sinner like them, but he was a man of faith. He didn't walk with God in the Garden of Eden, but he walked with God in the shadow of Eden's promise. He held fast to and fed upon the promise of victory through the coming seed of the woman. He had heard that gospel promise. He boldly testified for God and his people against Satan and his people. At the same time, and this we know from Jude's letter, and we read it, Enoch had faith in divine retribution. He believed both of God's promises, the promise of life for the godly and the promise of death for the ungodly. In short, he walked with God in that, and because of that, he believed God and everything God said. In other words, he was a true representative of all who stand on the formal issue of God's authority, his word, as we plan to reflect upon this evening, when we gather again and consider Psalm 12, which says, "The words of the Lord are pure." Now, secondly, Enoch was also a representative of all who stand upon the material issue of how a person is brought back to God. It's by faith. For this we observe Enoch's walk with God. And what were the steps of that walk? Were they not these? Consider Enoch's first step. The enmity of his heart toward God was taken away by God and transferred to Satan. Remember what Adam did when he heard the voice of God speaking in the garden after his terrible sin of eating the forbidden fruit? Instead of running toward the voice of the Lord, Adam hid himself. Alas, he wanted no communion with God. He desired not to continue walking with God in the cool of Eden's pleasant day. He had made a pact with the serpent, and he had believed the serpent. But God came to Adam and Eve anyway. His voice was heard, and what it said was this: I will put enmity between the serpent and the woman, and between their seeds. So it was evident that Enoch was blessed with God's grace. He hated sin instead of loving it. The pact with the devil was broken in his case, and he walked with God, if not in the garden, at least on the earth, somewhere else. For those do not walk and keep company together who entertain enmity against each other. Enoch was actually at peace with God, reconciled to God, the God whom he believed, reconciled because he believed God's promise. You see, Enoch and all those other patriarchs at that time of history's dawn had a gospel promise. Yes, they did. They possessed enough of that promise to cling to. They looked outside themselves for their deliverance. Why did Enoch walk with God? Because he decided to do that one sunny day? No. Because he was reconciled. Reconciled to God and through God, and clearly through the one whom God promised was coming. Yes, Jesus died for Enoch too. By the Savior's all-sufficient righteousness and atonement, the man who wasn't there one day could walk with God while he lived. Yes, Jesus was Enoch's peacemaker. Today, are you at enmity with Satan and all his designs and at peace with God? Or sadly, are you still at peace with Satan? Is your walk, your behavior, your life such that it must be characterized as one that doesn't make waves as far as the world, the flesh, and the devil are concerned? Do you fit in here? Do you conform? Do you walk with the world and thus with Satan? Or like Happy Enoch, do you walk with God? That's an all-important question, my dear ones. And young people, it seems to you now that you will live forever. You're so full of life, of vitality, of expectation, of hope, of promise. And that's good. But you too will not live so long. You had better decide pretty soon, if you haven't already, just how you're going to spend your life. With whom are you going to walk? Don't think that you can just nicely change partners anytime you choose. You'd better make sure that you have the right one now. Because you will get used to your partner. You will fall in step with him. The longer you walk with him, whomever he is, the more content you will become with his gait, and especially with his direction. Will it be with God? Or will it be with that other one? Enoch chose well. Make sure that you do too. Now notice those succeeding steps that Enoch took. They were forward steps, weren't they? The very idea of walking implies that. He went on from strength to strength. He passed from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. His was not a life of austerity and monkish contemplation. He did not rise on a mountain somewhere away from the cares, the labor, and the interests of life upon this earth. Enoch had a wife. Enoch had children. He had a family. And still he walked with God. He worked and he played. But the really beautiful thing is that his whole life, with all its cuts and bruises, which it might have included, its disobedient children, huh? And its discoveries, its picnics, and its storms, sweat and sleep, food, fun, frolic, fumblings, friendships, fishing, and fireside chats with his wife. All that life was a walk with God. Isn't that wonderful? This is not a myth, my friends. It's history. Enoch was a real flesh and blood man. He lived like folks live, like us. He lived so long ago, and such a mysterious thing happened to him, about which we'll talk in a moment, that we somehow judge him to be somehow bigger than life. But he wasn't. He was an ordinary person who lived an ordinary life, a real life, upon planet Earth. But that life of his was sustained and motivated by fellowship with his Creator, because he believed. He lived truly by faith. Faith, that gift God gave him. And it stuck out all his days. And once more I ask, what about your daily walk with God, dear friends? Are you taking forward steps? Oh, I know that each one of you falls back from time to time. I do too. And we may even fall down. But our heavenly companion does not run on ahead, calling back derisively to you and to me, "Get up, you bumbler. Why can't you walk faster and better?" He waits for us. He actually picks us up sometimes. He has to carry us. But he doesn't leave us, ever. It grieves him the way we dawdle along the way. You might complain that your feet hurt, and that the way is long and hard. You glance wistfully at the broad way that seems so easy, so well-traveled, and so pleasant, forgetting that it leads to destruction. Oh, dear ones, walk with God. Once more back to Enoch's steps. Why do you suppose it was that kept him going day by day? Was it not his drawing upon, his dependence upon God's revelation? He didn't see God. He didn't touch God. Yet he walked with God. The preposition in Hebrew denotes intimacy and fellowship. It points to supernatural intercourse. But how? Enoch had no Bible. Still, he must have known the will of God, God's revealed will, That's the formal issue of God's authority. How else could he have walked with God without it? He must have paid attention to the law of God, the work of which was written in his own heart. He must have loved and obeyed the ordinances of the Lord, especially those of marriage, unlike Lamech, of labor, and of the Sabbath day. He must have meditated upon those directions that would have been passed down from one generation to the next. Those directions that God gave to Adam and Eve first, but which were for Enoch also. God was first for him, and that was enough. God was his commander. And in that firm foundation he rested, and upon those marching orders he walked. Now I ask you, congregation, yet a third time, how is it with your careful attention to God's Word? Oh, how sad it is to observe people about us today going counter to God's specific and clear instructions in the Bible, even though they profess to be Christians. They marry unbelievers. They neglect the Christian education of their children. They cheat on their taxes. They lust and grope after carnal affections. They sometimes think that in some way or other it will still be all right with them, that they can break God's laws with impunity. After all, judgment doesn't fall upon their heads right away. The way of obedience is so hard, and it's anywhere. I'm not getting enough money. I'm not getting a wife or a husband, or at least one that I like. So I just can't do it God's way. Life is passing me by. Give me a break. Why can't I have what other people have? And so it seems a better alternative to walk away from God. Sad to say, that happens so often. But that route, that gate, my dear congregation, is clearly one that leads not to a happy and safe life, but ultimately to nothing less than death, and even death eternally. I do ask you to consider solemnly these sobering matters, brothers and sisters, that none of you is overtaken. We move now to consider, lastly, the way Enoch ended his life. Now, the American educator Hughes Means, in 1899, wrote a satiric poem, which you may have heard. Yesterday, upon the stair, I met a man who wasn't there. He wasn't there again today. I wish he'd go away. Now, the text says that Enoch was not, for God took him. One day it seems Enoch was missed by people. He was the man who wasn't there. No, this is not one more Alfred Hitchcock mystery. It's straightforward history, my friends. Fact. They couldn't locate Enoch. He was not found, the writer to the Hebrews tells us. Now the curse was there. It was in the world. And that curse was death. Imagine what death, when it struck, must have meant for those old patriarchs who lived 900 years or so. Can you put yourself in their place? To live so long and then to die? But now here is our Enoch, the man who wasn't there, cut off after only 365 years. What a pity. Where did he go? But actually, is it such a pity after all? No. For he did not die. The curse didn't win in his case. God brought life to triumph there in that early day of human history. Only seven generations from Adam, with Adam, as we pointed out earlier, still living, mind you, but doomed to death, and who all did indeed at last die. Enoch didn't. The book of Hebrews tells us that he did not see death, for God took him up, or bore Enoch from one place to another, from this life to the next, without the intermediate step of death. God just took him there. Wonder of wonders. The gospel according to Genesis. All those people died, but one didn't. Enoch is himself, in the way he left his life, a prophecy of what happened at Easter. And now we know, because one did not remain under the power of death, but broke its bonds, that the many may live. Also Enoch. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ is the first fruit of them that slept. And that's because he died and rose again. His is the resurrection that secures yours, if you're a believer. But Enoch was not resurrected because he never died. He points backwards and he points forwards. Backwards to what might have been had Adam kept his first estate. With Elijah, who also escaped death, Enoch stands as a token and illustration of the glory that would have been Adam's and ours had the fall not happened. But he also points forward to those who will be alive at Jesus' return. Do you see that? When Christ comes to earth the second time, some of his own beloved church will be alive at that moment. And they too, like Enoch of old, will not die. Like Enoch, they will be taken up from here to there, together with all those who died in Christ and who will be raised and given new bodies. They will altogether be taken to glory. Those alive at the time that Jesus comes again will also be given new bodies, but they won't have to die first. And the great fact is that through the greater than Enoch, you hear the capital G? The glory will be theirs and yours too, if you are a believer. You will die should the Lord not return before, but you will pass over into glory. Enoch did not see death. His was another door. But with him, you will enter the same glory. And so you don't have to fear either way, Christian, whatever is your door. For those united to Christ, the result is the same. Oh, one more thing before we stop. Life without God is not, that is not walked with him, is certainly vain and empty. It is a life about which the preacher spoke in Ecclesiastes. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. One generation passes away and another comes. Yes, a dark shadow hangs over life in this world, for death threatens all. It threatened Enoch, but he walked with God. He didn't try to run away from death. And look, it never caught him. What a picture of grace. Oh, death, where is your sting? Do you live in the power of the risen Lord Jesus Christ, marked by joy? It's all there. Enoch walked with God in life and out of it. Amen. Let's pray. Oh God, we ask that the message of your holy word, just a few words in that verse, but which have such deep meaning, will sink into our hearts and lives and change the way in which we think about life, the way in which we plan our lives by your plan. And we pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ will attend our way and that we will be close to him. We know that on his shoulders we will be strong and only there. We pray this in his name. Amen.